This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Our state capitol reporter Megan Verlee was tweeting like mad this week, firing off minute-by-minute updates on the budget debate in the House. Lawmakers argued over the $19 billion spending package late into the night Wednesday and came to an agreement Thursday morning. In the end, all but one member of the House voted for it. Megan joins us, as she does every Friday during session, to review the week at the legislature. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Ryan.
So the budget passes 64-1 in the House. That seems like a lot of agreement to me. Is that common?
I don't think so. In past years, a lot of members of the minority party have voted against the budget because the majority controlled the process and came up with something they didn't like. Or even with bipartisan budgets, members have voted against them to symbolically oppose cuts or spending. This year, apparently, the Budget Committee hit the sweet spot. Here's Majority Leader Amy Stevens just after the big vote.
I do think it speaks very well to the manner in which Colorado leadership said, we'll try to work this out and make it happen. And we did. 64-1 is remarkable.
The lone dissenter, I should say, was Chris Hulbert. He's a Republican from Parker. He said the budget wasn't fiscally responsible enough for him to support, but the Denver Post reported unnamed Republicans who said Hulbert was just angry he wasn't allowed to offer an amendment about abortion.
Earlier in the week, though, Megan, there was a lot of debate over amendments to the budget. Did the budget actually change much going through the House?
Lots of debate, like you said, but in the end, very little action. I did the math, and all the amendments that House members actually managed to pass added up to about 1/1,000th of the whole total $19 billion package. That is to say, about $19 million in the end. There are two Republican amendments that together take about $5.5 million out of the corrections budget and put it toward full-day kindergarten and a special court for veterans. Democrats also went after corrections money pretty hard, and it's interesting the two parties differed about what kind of prison should get cut. The Democrats wanted to take money out of private prisons. Republicans said those facilities have already been hit hard enough with corrections cuts, and their amendments, which were the successful ones, went after state prison money. Aside from corrections, the biggest change was a move to take $13 million that had been set aside as a reserve fund and instead use it for state construction projects. That passed with a lot of bipartisan support in the end, but it has really ticked Budget Committee members off. Senator Pat Stedman of Denver says Colorado needs to hold on to that money to pay for emergencies.
The fact that we're looking at a serious wildfire season this year and the need to have emergency funds, it was one of the reasons why liquidity in the Tabor Emergency Reserve was a concern at the Joint Budget Committee and a concern with this new amendment that the House adopted.
That State Senator Pat Stedman of Denver, the budget heads to his chamber next. But in the House, Megan, not all the amendments dealt with money. Lawmakers also debated a bunch of what are called footnotes, and they're like statements of policy. They're not binding, but they can attract a lot of attention. Let's focus on one of them. It would have said that no state money could go to fund Viagra or vasectomies.
Well, this was the brainchild of Dan Pabon. He's a Denver Democrat, and he was trying to make a statement about efforts in other states and at the federal level to restrict government support for women's reproductive health, things like contraception and abortion. It gave Democrats a brief soapbox on the issue, while many Republicans complained that it was off topic. Around the sides, away from the microphone, the House sounded a bit like a junior high school cafeteria. People were sort of trying to top each other with the off-color jokes they could make. Pabon finally withdrew the footnote, but only after making a short speech laden with terrible puns.
No need to get snippy, Representative Nickel. And I don't want to cut off the debate here, because I know that this amendment, you know, hits many below the belt. You know, it's important that we take firm positions down here. And
okay there. Well, we are getting our sometimes colorful update from the state capitol with CPR's Megan Verlee. Megan, along with the budget, the House also passed a bunch of companion bills. These are policy goals that do come with a price tag.
Yes, we've talked about film incentives before. Those became part of the budget package, and they passed with quite a lot of support. A bipartisan group of lawmakers did stand up to say this isn't a good use of state money, that Colorado is joining a kind of arms race. States are into lure movie productions, and that the money should go to a more stable economic development program. Another interesting bill that is part of the budget package reorganizes the governor's energy office. This has actually been an ongoing process for the past couple of years. The office got a lot of money from the federal stimulus package to pay for renewable energy and energy efficiency projects, but that money is running out. The plan is to broaden the office's mandate to include traditional energy sources, natural gas, coal, and that would open up some new funding sources. But some Democrats really oppose the change. They feel the focus should stay on so-called green energy. TJ Diora, the head of the energy office, says it's just really time to think bigger.
There's three elements to how we think about what we're going to do under this new mission. And the first is to help emerging energy resources, you know, primarily renewable energy resources, become more economically competitive or sustainable. Looking at established energy resources like natural gas and coal and oil become more environmentally sustainable. And then helping our energy consumption be done in a more resource-efficient manner. So those are the three kind of pillars that we're looking to use having the office go forward.
That's TJ Diora. He's the head of the governor's energy office. He's backing a reorganization plan. A similar reorganization bill died last year, but I've heard this one has a pretty good chance of making it through the Senate.
And it wasn't the only renewable energy bill up for consideration this week. There was also a measure that's supposed to make it easier for people to drive electric or natural gas-powered cars in the state. Tell us about that.
So this is a very simple bill that fixes a very odd little problem. It says that charging stations for electric cars are not utilities and should not be regulated like utilities. Think about it. Until now, the only people who sold electricity have been utilities. But with electric cars, we're in this whole new world where people might be setting up charging stations, kind of like filling stations, or even as part of other businesses, you know, a charging station outside of a cafe, say, where you could just plug in while you drink your espresso. Those need to be easy to open for electric cars to be adopted. And Matt Sherudis, who lobbies for the clean tech industry, says this bill will remove a big barrier for people in Colorado getting these cars.
It's about making electric vehicles more practical by offering places where you can charge them so you can drive further. So it's really trying to be a forward-thinking signal to the market that Colorado is open and ready for business.
I should mention this bill also applies to fueling stations for vehicles that run on compressed natural gas.
What's coming up next week, Megan?
Well, the Senate will get the budget, of course, so we'll go through everything the House just did all over again. In the House, there's an interesting bill currently slated for Monday that would require the federal government to give most of the land it owns in Colorado back to the state. This is apparently a movement in Western states. Utah just passed a law like this a few weeks ago. Arizona's considering something very similar, a couple of other places. Republican Representative Jerry Sonnenberg is the sponsor.
It was never intended for the federal government to keep lands. Why, after they got to Colorado and Utah and Arizona, they decided to keep the lands? I don't know. For Colorado, you know, we are a state. It's time for them to relinquish their lands.
Now, if this passes, I mean, I think we can say it's pretty unlikely that Congress is just going to send a deed over to Colorado for its public lands. Sonnenberg says the real idea is to set up a court challenge where he thinks that his cause might actually have some success. Now, the bill is probably unlikely to pass the Senate, but it's certainly a pretty bold idea.
And as you said, not one exclusive to Colorado.
No, this does appear to be a movement.
Megan, thanks for being with us.
Always fun, Ryan.
Megan Verlee joins us weekly from the state capitol, which she covers for CPR.